Steve is home tending to Isabel right now. Aileen is down south, so Steve is taking care of the house. So he asked me to teach this evening, so I'm going to be your speaker. And we're going to be in Matthew chapter 14. We're going to start there, actually. So if you just flip over to Matthew 14. Well, a lot of you guys know me and know my family, and the Lord's doing some kind of cool stuff in our life, and it's, you know, we go back and forth. You know, it's a bittersweet thing that's happening, and we're going to be leaving here. We're not sure exactly when, but we're going to be leaving within the next few weeks or so. But the Lord, through all of this, has been teaching us a lot about faith in Him, faith and trust, and not just you know, a lot of times we have faith that, you know, the Lord's going to provide for us, and but there's, it's not only, you know, in things or in stuff, but it's in, you know, faith in God Himself. And we should know better than to doubt His provision. You know, a lot of times we're, you know, we say, okay, well, Lord, I need this or I need that, but the Lord knows what we need even before we ask. And I've been so blessed. And I think, you know, you get kind of nervous and you worry sometimes or get anxious. Lately, the Lord has given us a very good visual picture of trust and faith because of our son Caleb. Lately, and I'm not sure what exactly it has been. He's been a little different lately. He's you know, really anxious and really nervous. And I think it may be some of me traveling down south for work and not being home every night. But he's been, you know, just very concerned that we don't lose anything, or we don't lose anybody. He's very concerned that we don't lose Isabel, and we don't lose Catherine. And so he's like, "Where's Isabel? Where's Isabel?" And he doesn't see her. Like, she's in her room. Oh, okay. And then he'll be going and doing something, and he'll look around. "Where's Isabel?" He'll be down at the beach. "Where's Isabel? Where's Isabel?" And she'll be, we're in the playground, and she'll be running across the playground. He'll be like, "No, stop, stop!" And like, where do you think she's going? She's not going anywhere. She's in the house. "Where's Isabel?" She's in the house. She's not going anywhere. You know, she'll go like outside, and he's like, "Ah!" And he'll run out after her. And he's been even asking us. You know, we'll go and we'll drive somewhere. We'll go for a ride, and. We're going over to Nanny and Pop Pop's camper, where they have the camper on over on Matanuck. "Well, how do you know how to get there?" And I'm like, "Do you know how to get there?" And like, "Yeah, I know how to get there." So how do you know? "Well, Mommy told me how to get there." He's like, "You gonna have enough gas?" like, listen, you don't need to worry. You don't need to. That's not your thing. Your problem, okay? That's you know, trust Mommy and Daddy. We have it under control. We've been there before. We know. So, and I'm like, "Wow, don't you trust us?" And I was thinking, "Oh man, this must exactly be what the Lord thinks of us when we're like second guessing Him and saying, 'Hey, don't you know what you're doing? Do you understand? Oh yeah. All right, oh man," and that's the thing. He's faithful, just like Caleb can trust that we're faithful to be able to drive to Bangor and back and know where we're going and know that we have enough gas. How do you know you have enough gas? Well, see, the little arrow is pointing towards the F. Do you know what the F means? No. It means full. That means our gas tank is full. Oh, okay. Like, right? You don't need to worry about that. And so how much more is the Lord faithful and worthy of our trust? And, you know, and we can all look at ways that the Lord has provided for us and look at times in the past and say, wow, yeah, I mean, yeah, the Lord really came through and provided for us. And I think about the disciples. In Matthew chapter 14, starting in verse 22, it says, and straightway Jesus constrained the disciples, So verse 13, let's go back a couple verses. Verse 13, when Jesus heard it, he departed thence, when he heard that John the Baptist had his head cut off. When he heard it, he departed thence to a ship in a desert place apart. And when the people had heard thereof, they followed him on foot out of the cities. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion towards them, and he healed their sick. And when it was evening, his disciples came to him, saying, this is a desert place, and the time is now past. Send the multitude away that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals. But Jesus said unto them, I heard that it was, it's actually victuals. This is how you pronounce that, really. But anyway, so it's just trivia. No, it's not victuals, it's victuals. But Jesus said unto them, they need not depart. Give ye them to eat. And they said unto him, oh, we have but five loaves and two fishes. And he said, bring them hither to me. And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass. And he took the five loaves and the two fishes and looked up to heaven and blessed and brake and gave the loaves to his disciples and the disciples to the multitude. And they did eat, and they were filled, and they took up of the fragments that remained 12 baskets full. And they that had eaten were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. So there's a time when God did a miraculous provision. The disciples saw it. The disciples were walking around with Jesus and saw him do some pretty awesome things. And all of a sudden, you know, he does this miracle and feeds all these people. This is one occasion. The next occasion is in the next chapter where he does almost the same thing. He doesn't feed quite as many people. He feeds 1,000 less. Excuse me. And so if you go over into Matthew chapter 15, starting in verse 32, it says, then Jesus called his disciples unto him and said, I have compassion on the multitude because they continue with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat. And I will not send them away fasting, lest they faint in the way. And his disciples say unto him, when should we have so much bread in the wilderness as to fill this great multitude? What are we going to give them to eat? I mean, we don't have anything. There's nothing out here. How are we going to? Come on, guys. You've already seen me do this once before. And Jesus said to them, how many loaves have ye? And they said, 7 and a few little fish. Okay, so you got more now than you had the previous time. And so what did he do? He commanded the multitude to sit down on the ground again. And he took the 7 loaves and the fishes and gave thanks and brake them again. And gave to his disciples, and the disciples gave to the multitude again. And they all did eat and were filled, and they took up broken meat and all the fragments that were left, 7 baskets full again. And they did eat, were 4,000 men besides women and children. And he sent the multitude away and took a ship and came into the coast of Magdala. So, man, the disciples saw him do it the first time and provide miraculously, and it was almost like they didn't even, like, this was brand new. But I can't be too hard on the disciples, because I think about my own self and think, you know, I've seen the Lord do some awesome things and some miraculous things. But I think, well, maybe he'll do it again. Or I don't want to assume that he'll do something miraculous again. But man, he's our Father. He wants to bless us. He wants to take care of his children, take care of his kids. But I see Peter. Peter kind of he's one of those that that has some faith. And back in chapter 14, verse 21, when they had all eaten, there were about 5,000 men besides women and children, and straightway Jesus constrained the disciples to get into a ship and to go before them to the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And while he sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain to pray. And when evening had come, they were alone, and the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with the waves, so the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And the disciples saw him walking on the sea and were troubled, saying, "It's a spirit. It's a ghost." And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." And Peter answered to him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come out on the water." And he said, "Come." And when Peter was come out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind was boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" And when they were come into the ship, the wind had ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, "Of a truth, thou art the Son of God." So Peter, of all the guys, said, "Wow, you know, Jesus can do crazy stuff. He can do things like no other man." So, and you know, Peter, I don't know if he put a lot of thought into this or not, but he was scared. He a lot of times we see Peter just kind of saying whatever's on the top of his, on the tip of his tongue. So he says, "Tell me to do the same thing that you're doing, walking on the water." And he did. And he actually took some steps. But he started getting kind of anxious about the circumstances, what was happening around him. Like, "Man, I'm really doing this thing. Whoa, this is not right. I can't do this." And he's right, because he can't, or he couldn't. It was actually the Lord that was giving him the strength to do that. But it was his doubt and his lack of faith that Jesus says here, "Oh, you of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? Why do you doubt?" And that echoes in my ears too, with the Lord, with this situation that I find myself in. And I hear the Lord's voice saying, "Hey, why are you worried? Why are you doubting?" And you know, it's kind of like, it's one of those things. I mean, I'm sure Peter, you know, when you get on a roller coaster, I don't know if you guys have ridden on like a big roller coaster, or like on the Sky Needle thing that you go up and you around this post and it goes up, and you go up and you're up, I don't know, 200 feet on this tower, and then it goes all the way up to the top, and all of a sudden it just drops, and you free fall, and your whole insides and your guts kind of go up, you know, like, whoa, you know, going down. And or when you're on a roller coaster and you're right up at the top, and it's like gar, gets up to the top, and you're at the top, and all of a sudden it's just like everything like unhooks and everything, and you're like free fall and down, whoo, down the roller coaster, you know, what? You know. So I wonder if Peter was like that when he was stepping out. But you know, it's and think of different things like Moses stepping out into the Red Sea and being like, "All right, I'm going to go do it. Lord, you told me to do it." And the sea parts and the walls of water come up, or the children of Israel going across the Jordan, and he said, "Get out in there, get your feet out there, get your feet wet," and all of a sudden, boo, the water heaps up, and they're like, you know, like, "Oh man, walking across there, and the water's, you know, ah, that's, you know." And for us, I think it was a similar situation where I said, "Lord, you know, we want to really hear your voice and know what we're getting ourselves into, or what, you know, we want to know this is from you." And hearing the Lord's voice, you know, it really isn't dependent on how good we are or what we've done. I mean, you can do things that will hinder your relationship with the Lord and how He speaks to you. But it'd be the same thing with my kids. If my kids are being sassy or mouthing off or whatever, you know, putting up barriers or whatever, that doesn't change my relationship with them. Some of the things, some of their behaviors and attitudes, I don't care for. But when it comes down to when they want to know how to do something, or if they want something, or if they want to be able to do something right or do something well or whatever, and they come and they ask me, I'm not gonna steer them the wrong way. And the Lord wants to talk to us just as much as we want to pass that on to our kids. But sometimes, like my kids, they need to stop talking and listen. And I know Caleb's at the point right now where he wants to explain how things work, you know, how red blood cells work and how, whatever. And I'm like, where are you learning this stuff? You know, and she's watching Newton's workshop and doing, and it's a testament to my wife's ability to school and everything. And so, but sometimes it's a matter of, okay, now I gotta stop and listen. And I'm always real busy, and I need to stop and say, okay, Lord, I want to hear from you. I want to listen. So He's not trying to hide His will. But sometimes He can say something and we don't really like what He has to say. We don't really want to hear that thing. And I know with us, we were looking, okay, well, there are different options. Of course, the job that I had before, the mill shut down, and the Lord has had us there for a particular period of time, and He was going to be moving us along. But we really wanted to discern His will on where to go. Now the options are open. I'm fairly, my career is fairly specific, and I'm a chemical engineer, and most of my experience has been in the paper industry. So paper mills are the place where I can easily adapt and find work, and so there are only so many, and they keep closing down and shutting down, and so the Lord has used us, you know, in my career. I've made a bunch of job changes, and it's mostly because of mills closing, and those things are easy to know when you have a job loss. Okay, well, now I need to go find a job. And those are easier to make rather than kind of moving, you know, and trying to decide, well, I have all kinds of options. What do I do? That's, I think sometimes that's more difficult. But we really wanted to discern what the Lord's will was. And I really worry about making the wrong decision. Like, I don't want to mess up. I don't want to make the wrong choice. And then my life is ruined, and I go and I'm like, oh, I shouldn't have done that. Oh, I took this job. Oh, I shouldn't have done that. Oh, man. Oh, I bought this car. Oh, I shouldn't have done that. You know, I'm like, okay, Lord. And so I tend to get into analysis paralysis, and I don't do anything. And so then I'm like, okay, I don't want to do that, and I don't want to do that thing over there. And oh, Lord, and he has mercy on me, and mercy on my wife in spite of me. So, but just, you know, just because the Lord may be telling us to do something or to go somewhere or to change something doesn't necessarily mean that everything is going to go perfectly when you go there or when you do that thing. I feel, you know, at some times kind of like Abraham. I mean, and back in Genesis chapter 12, Abraham, the Lord talked to Abraham. He said, "Yeah, I know you're there with your family, but I want you to go." The Lord said unto Abraham, "Get out of your country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee." And the Lord gives him some promises. "I'll make you a father of many nations, and here, I want you to go to this land over here, and then I'll show you what I want you to do after that. Okay, all right. Well, get her moving. And felt like wow, I'm starting to relate a little bit to what Abraham may have been going through. And I know that Stephanie is probably relating to how Sarah felt when Abraham told her, like, and she's like, so where are we going? Well, we're going to Canaan. So, okay. All right. You mean we're going to leave everything here, leave everything and go there? Yep. Well, where are we going to live? Don't know. What town are we going to be in? Don't really know yet. Are we going to know anybody there? Maybe. So, okay. All right. Well, we'll just pray and ask the Lord to kind of show us on the way. And so, yeah, I think back on the landmarks, you know, ways of the Lord has spoken to me through my life, and different times when the Lord has really spoken. And this time, you know, we were praying, you know, very fervently that the Lord would give us scripture, give us, you know, tell us, hey, this is where we want you to, what we want you to do, where we want you to go. And then when we look back, when we can look back and say, all right, this is really the Lord. When times get tough and stuff gets hard, and we're like, oh man, did we mess up? Oh, I knew second guessing and doubting. We want scripture to be able to hold on to and say, hey, this is what I told you to do. And the Lord comforted us. I remember, you know, when we were praying and asking the Lord what to do as far as a job situation, and in Luke chapter 8, he was talking to Jesus, was with his disciples. And now it came to pass on a certain day that they went into a ship. He went into a ship with his disciples, and he said unto them, let us go to the other side of the lake. And they launched forth. And of course, everything started getting crazy and turmoil and waves. And they came to him and woke and said, Master, we're perishing. And they arose, and he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging water, and they ceased and were calm. And he said, where is your faith? And they being afraid, wondered, saying, what manner of man is this? For he commandeth even the winds and the water obey him. And the Lord spoke to me through that and said, hey, listen, I asked you to go to the other side. And so you're gonna get there. You're gonna make it there. I said, oh, okay. You know, there are times when the Lord speaks to you and you say, ah, oh, okay, thank you. Oh man, good. All right, you know, back. Oh, okay, and that's good. And but I was looking back through, and I said, well, geez, if I go back through all the times where the Lord really spoke to me, and I can see the hand of the Lord at work. And I remember fasting and praying, and like Abraham, you know, and I was praying for a wife at the time. This was back when I was going to church. I had done the dating thing and been in that scene. I'm sick of this. I'm all done. Lord, I want your will for me, and I want a wife in your timing, and I don't want to screw it. Every time I get involved, I screw it up. So, Lord, you need to do something, and I'm just going to wait for you. And so I did, and I was at the time running the soundboard over at John Babs when we were actually it was over at Somerset Street before we moved over to John Babs, and so I could watch people as they were coming in. And there were some ladies at church that were kind of matchmakers, you know. Some of the older ladies are like, oh, there's this girl I know, and whatever. I'm like, oh, okay. And but there was one particular lady that mentioned, and then Lisa Dudley came up to me, Aaron's wife, and she said, "Oh, there's this girl. Oh, we know her. Yeah, I mean, we went to church with her back in when we went to Hudson Baptist, and she's a great kid, a good family, and whatever." Like, oh, okay, yeah. And so I ended up getting introduced to Stephanie, but I didn't, I wasn't chasing after her or anything. So I'm back, you know, doing the sound booth. So I get to watch. I'm like, okay. And I'm like, oh, you know, and she's worshiping the Lord and whatever. Okay, yeah, that's good. And so I had, you know, weeks and months to kind of just watch her and you know, just playing it cool and not making any moves and everything. And, you know, because a lot of the girls at the time, they'd come in, they were, you know, they were looking for guys. I mean, they were, you know, whatever, and they're hanging out after the service, you know, and I'm just like, you know what, I'm all set, okay? And so, and Stephanie would come in with her mom, and she was coming to church with her mom, and then right after there, she was out, split. And I'm like, oh, she's coming here for the Lord. I'm like, oh, that's awesome. So I'm like, all right. So I'm watching her. I'm like, okay, all right, Lord. I mean, she's coming for you. So, you know, and so I said, well, geez, I gotta get to know her better. I don't know how to. And at the time, I was teaching the junior high kids on Monday nights, and so I said, well, I don't have. There are no ladies, you know, up there, because there's little junior high boys and little junior high girls, and it'd be good to have a lady there too, but I don't want it to be too conspicuous. I mean, whatever. So I got to get another guy and another girl, and you know, so it looks like it's, you know, there's just nothing going on here, and not that there was, but I got to get to know her better. So I invited her. You know, I was like, hey, do you want to help out with the, you know, Toby and Pam are gonna help out too, and just, you know, is there, would you be interested? And she's like, oh, yeah, sure, that'd be great. And so she, and of course, at the same time, you know, the Lord's working on her side too, unbeknownst to me. I don't know. So we started to get to know each other a little bit better and there and whatever. I'm like, all right, it's time. And so I was praying about it. And so I was praying and fasting and for like 3 days. And I'm like, Lord, I want an answer. I need an answer. Should I ask her or not? I'm not hearing anything. I'm like, okay, well, you know, that maybe that's a no. No, I don't know. I mean, everything seems to be good. I mean, we get along good together, and I, you know, personality wise, and you know, I don't know. I get a, and just praying and listening, and then I'm starting. I'm like, Lord, tell me something. And so he said, you know, so the, and I don't know if he was kind of like getting fed up with me, but it seemed like he was like, you know, sometimes you got to have faith. And I'm like, yeah, okay. All right, that's good. That's a good answer. All right. So I'm like, all right, I will. I'll go. I'll ask her. And so I went and kind of proposed to her. I mean, you ask her and she's like, so afterwards, so what does this mean? You know, like, because I was like, all right, listen, I don't want to just date. I want to get to know you better. So I need to be able to hang out with you a little bit, you know, like some one-on-one time. And I'm not going to, this is going to be so that we can get married and see if we're compatible. I don't want this. So the Lord translated all that, and she's like, okay. And I'm like, okay, all right. So it all worked. And so I went and asked her to court, you know. So I said, okay, we're gonna court. And she's like, okay, what does that mean exactly? And I said, well, you know, we're not, like, my plan is not just to date or whatever. I'd like to get married eventually if we find that, you know, that works out with both of us. And so 3 weeks later, I I gave her an engagement ring, and she took it, and then 3 months later, we were married. So that all happened real fast, and so that was pretty, not that that happens for everybody, or not that that's the way that it should work, but that's the way it worked for us, and it was pretty awesome. The Lord's like, hey, you know, sometimes you gotta have faith. I'm like, oh, all right, yeah, okay. I'm not going to tell you everything to do, and so I went and did it, and it was cool. So, and it was worked out great. And then we got married, and we moved down to Pittsfield and stayed in the church parsonage of my parents' church, and they didn't have a pastor at the time. We moved in there, and we're like, okay, you know, I had a job at the tannery in Heartland, and so we said, okay, well, that's awesome. We'll go and we'll find a house. But right out of getting married, we didn't have any place to stay. So my parents were like, hey, the parsonage is empty. You might as well use that. So we moved in there and started looking around and ended up buying a house in Pittsfield. And when we were there, I was out mowing the lawn one day and just praying and talking to the Lord. And he's like, and I'm like, well, what should we do? And he said, dwell in the land and feed on my faithfulness. And I said, okay, that sounds like scripture. And that's, lo and behold, that's Psalm 37. Psalm 37, verse 1, I believe. So fret not thyself because of evil. It's not verse 1. Verse 3. Trust in the Lord and do good, so thou shalt dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. I'm like, oh, okay, all right. So we went, and you know, at the time we were looking at buying a house. So we went and we bought a house. But the tenants that were in there were the assistant pastor for First Baptist Church. His name is Felipe and family. And they were there in the house, and they're like, oh, we don't have any place to go right now. So we're like, oh, well, you know, stay there for a couple weeks. That's fine. Cause I mean, we're over in the parsonage and we'll move over. But, you know, and they're like, yeah, we're going to find a new place, but we need some time. And so we're like, okay. So that was fine. So it was about 8 weeks, and we ended up, after that, moving into that house. And the week after that, the week after we moved, we finally got all of our stuff in there, and I lost my job at the tannery. And I'm like, oh no! And I had talked to my boss there, and you know, before, and he said, hey, as long as I have a job here, you're gonna have a job here. I'm like, all right, good deal. So you know, everything went and. Found out he got fired, so you know, so that everybody underneath him was gone too. So all right, okay. So I'm like, all right, I gotta come home and tell my wife that we just bought a house and we just moved into it after a week of you know waiting for 8 weeks, and now we might have to move. So things were not going according to my plan, but I tried to. After that, I'm like, okay, well, I got to find a job. So I tried to find a job, and I sent out resumes and went and did things all you know according to my understanding and all you know in my own strength, so to speak. And nothing, no response back. Cricket, nothing, no, nothing. And so I'm like, oh, man, this is not good. And then I got a phone call from Great Northern, and they were looking for a process engineer, Great Northern, East Millinocket. And I said, awesome, this is great. And it was the Lord kind of like, hey, are you all done? Are you all done trying to do something? Are you going to ask me for help? I mean, you can keep doing that if you want, but are you going to ask me? And Lord, can you help me? And lo and behold, here you go. Oh, here you go. If you just do that earlier. But we ended up going up to Millinocket, moving in and having an apartment up there in East Millinocket. And it was a barren wasteland, spiritually wasteland, coming from Bangor and Orrington and all the awesome things that God was doing there, and the Spirit was moving, and we moved up there, and it's just like, oh, this is just hard. This is a hard place. You know, this is tough ground. And we were there for about 2 years, and you know, we were grumbling a little bit and kind of, you know, like, man, this is tough. Lord, this is tough. And he's like, yeah. And so, you know, we said, well, all right. Yeah, they're right. Lord, you're right. We just need to suck it up. If we're going to be here, we're going to be here. And we're gonna stop complaining about it and not grumble. And so we decided to start a family. And kind of put down roots and start, because that was before we had children. So Stephanie was going into her third trimester, and she was, you know, getting ready. And then Great Northern shuts down, and I end up losing my job. Like, oh, man. But at the time, Stephanie was like, and she had the house all packed up. And when I came home, she's like, we're out of here. We're gone. I don't need any other thing from the Lord than that. We are gone. So that's an answer from the Lord. So come on, baby. We are going down the road. So here we are, no insurance. She's pregnant, no job. Jobs are hard to come by anyway. And we moved down into the upstairs bedroom, spare room at her parents' place in Kanduskeg. All of what we own in our whole life is in the barn, in the attic of the barn. And we're sitting there, and here I am. Okay, I'm sending out resumes again. And we're sitting up there, and Stephanie's just like, no, what is going on? And, you know, but at the same time, we're praying, like, okay, Lord, we're, you know, you must have something else for us here. We've got something else planned for us, something that's going to be awesome. And on March 25th, the Lord will speak in different ways. And he speaks, you know, he does different things, and he'll speak in different manners, and he spoke to us through the one-year Bible. In the one-year Bible on March 25th was a passage in Deuteronomy chapter 8. Starting in verse 7, it says, "For the Lord thy God is bringing thee into a good land, a land of brooks of water and fountains and depths that spring out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates and olive oil and honey, a land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness, thou shalt lack nothing, a land where the stones are as iron, and out of the hills you might dig brass, and when thou art eaten and are full, thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land that he's given thee. And beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in keeping and doing his commandments and his judgments and his statutes." And he gave us that promise. Hey guys, I've got it under control. I'm bringing you into a good land. And we're like, that's awesome. And that was so the Lord that, I mean, he could have been right there in the room audibly speaking that to us. And that was awesome. That was one of the times that just, wow, you are awesome. But we didn't know where or what that meant or how. But I sent out, you know, more resumes. I'm like, okay, well, and no responses until I got an interview from Frazier at Gorham. So I went out to the Gorham Mill out in New Hampshire and interviewed out there. And I'm like, oh, good land. Mountains, hills, valleys, mountains, white mountains. Hey, there's the good land. I mean, where we are, all right. And so I interviewed out there. And it was about a week later, I got called from Katahdin Paper. Hey, we want to come and talk to you. Or we want you to come talk to us. And so we went up there, and I interviewed, and I was interviewing with a gentleman who was a VP in the company, and I said, well, I had interviewed over in New Hampshire, you know, for the Gorham job, and he's like, well, let's talk about Katahdin Paper. I said, okay, all right. So we talked about there at the mill, and he pretty much offered me the job right there on the spot. I'm like, whoa. He said, but wait a minute. Lord, this is not a good land. This is the wasteland. This is the land that we came from before. I mean, this is not, you said you were going to bring us into a good land. This is not the good land, right? But it ended up being the good land. We saw Steve and Aileen after one of the Wednesday night services. We were down in Orrington, and we saw them. We knew of Steve and Aileen. We didn't really know them real well, but we knew them. They were going to church with us down there, and so we saw them after a service, and we said, "Hey, how are you guys doing? Oh, good. How are you guys doing? Oh, good, good." Said we're going up. And we're going to be looking at some houses up in Lincoln tomorrow because I just got my job back at the East Millinocket Mill. And they're like, oh, really? Wow, that's awesome. Because we just got done. We just came back from there today because we were looking for houses. We're going around looking for houses in Lincoln, too. Oh, really? Awesome. Oh, wow. Hey, we'll have to get together. Hey, we were thinking, you know, it'd be awesome to start a Bible study up there. Hey, we were, too. We thought that, too. Like, well, maybe we can do it together. Well, that'd be great. So we started looking around, and we ended up buying the house on the Transalpine Road, and Steve and Aileen, and this is kind of what happened. We started meeting in the living room and saw the Lord's hand at work there, and it's grown to what it is today. And it ended up, you know, we had the Bible study in the living room. We outgrew that, and then went to Ballard Hill and outgrew that, and then the Lord provided us this building, and it has been a good land. And the Lord knew. So it was, you know, pretty neat to see His hand moving. And it worked out all good too with Caleb, and Stephanie ended up having Caleb, and the pregnancy got paid for. We were, because of all the turmoil and all the state assistance and aid for the mill shutting down, they ended up having that all covered. So we didn't have that. Plus, I was out of work the whole time that Stephanie was pregnant, or that last end. So he was born on the 17th, and my first day of work was the 19th. So I get to go through and be involved in all the appointments and all the delivery and the whole nine yards. And it was the Lord had the perfect timing again on how that all worked out. But then working there at the East Millinocket Mill and getting involved here, and then we bought this building, and I got a call from the guys at Lincoln, and they said, hey, how'd you like to come? And this was about the same time that gas prices were climbing, and we were doing things here, and those guys called me and said, hey, how'd you like to come down and work for us? I'm like, oh, that'd be awesome. I mean, work right in the same town, and, you know, I'm only 5 minutes. I could go home for lunch. They're like, yeah. You know, oh, that is great. And plus, being involved more in the work that the Lord is doing here, you know, there was a lot of work to do, you know, building the things and being close by. And so the Lord worked all that out. So, man, this is awesome. You know, just, you know, following the Lord, what the Lord was asking me to do. And it was easy. A lot of those things were easy. Wow, this is just getting better and better. So it was easy to follow Him. But then, over time, the job at the Lincoln Mill started to get pretty time-consuming and started really kind of eating us up. And I remember my wife coming to the point where she said, "Okay, we need to do something. We need to do something a little different here because you know this stuff is not working out exactly. You know, this is getting real tough." And so we prayed, Lord, what do we need to do? We don't know what to do. Should I quit my job? Should I try to go back to East Millinocket? What should I do? And I remember praying that night. The next day, I got a call on the phone, and my wife picked it up, and she handed the phone to me, and she was smiling, and she said, it's Glenn Saucier. Oh, that's the HR manager up at East Millinocket, or up at Katahdin Paper. Okay. So I grabbed the phone. like, hey. And they're like, hey, how would you like to come and talk to us about coming up to work for us? And I'm like, yes, I would. So I went and talked to them, and it was kind of neat. It was a little bit different than when I left. They wanted me to come and work at the Millinocket Mill. Ended up working for, you know, having a great job and a great boss. And this was like in March of 2008, and went there. And this guy that I was working for was actually, his wife delivered Caleb and Isabel. She was a doctor, and I felt like I should know Mark because Debbie, we knew Debbie, and she delivered our kids. She's almost family, so it was neat. I got a chance to work with him, and I'm like, oh, this is great, this is awesome. And then all of a sudden, in September of 2008, I'd been there for a couple months. Mill shuts down. Oh man, not again. So the mill shuts down, and like, all right, well, Lord, do you want us to? I mean, are you trying to tell us something here? Are you trying to tell us that we're not in the right place? We're not going the right. I mean, what should we go somewhere else? And so we started looking around. I started sending out some resumes, and we interviewed around and went out to New York and went to interviewed at Sappy, interviewed at Old Town, and everybody offered us a job. Like, oh, great. And some of them are like, you know, throwing money and bonuses and whatever. Hey, we'll pay for this and that and whatever. And we're praying, Lord, should we go or should we stay? And the Lord really spoke to us and said, I'll tell you to go when it's time to go. I want you to stay. Like, okay, all right, awesome. So that means I'll have a job somewhere. Okay, all right, so. And then East Millinocket called and said, "Hey, we'd like to have you come and work for us. Oh, by the way, we want to give you a raise too." Like, whatever, that's awesome. So we went and worked there, and then had Catherine and last October, things were getting pretty shaky at Katahdin Paper. And I was getting a little nervous. We were both getting a little nervous. Like, what are we going to, you know, I mean, we don't want to be proactive. We don't want to let the, you know, mill fall out from under us. It's getting, this one's getting shaky. Oh, we know what's coming. And so I started asking around and I knew some guys down at Old Town and talking around. And we were praying, oh, Lord, should we, you know, go down there? Because, I mean, then we wouldn't have to move, and we could just, you know, change jobs, and then that would be great. And the Lord said, no, I want you to wait. And he gave us some scripture, and that's awesome. We're praying, Lord, give us some scripture, help us to know so that we can know. And the same thing he did, Isaiah 30, starting in verse 15, he said, for the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest you shall be saved, and quietness and confidence shall be your strength. But you would not. You said, no, we'll flee upon horses, and we'll flee, and we'll ride upon the swift. Therefore, they shall pursue you, and they that are swift shall pursue you. So we're like, okay. The Lord's like, you know, relax. Quietness and confidence will be your strength. And, you know, you're saying, I'm gonna flee. I'm gonna go. We're gonna split. No. He said, you know what? You split, you know, and the people who are after you are gonna catch you. And so, like, okay, Lord, all right, I see what you're saying. So the Lord told us to stay, and was confident, you know, to be confident. And so the mill ended up shutting down. And the cool thing was is the Lord had five different mills call by the following weekend. Call and say, hey, we'd like to have you come to work for us. Like, whoa, this is unreal. Seeing the Lord's provision, the Lord's hand. And as we were praying about where to go and what to do, the Lord said, well, I want you to go to Sappy. And we said, well, Lord, what about Old Town? We wouldn't have to move. We wouldn't have to uproot. We could stay here in the fellowship, and there wouldn't be any changes, really. I mean, that wouldn't that be the way to go? And he's like, no, I told you to wait for a reason. And so we were like, okay, well, you told us to wait before. We were going to go, and we could have gone, but you told us to wait. And so it was about that time that it was right around Easter, and we were praying and fasting and wanting to hear from the Lord. And, of course, as you're praying and reading, and everything that you read in there, you come to the scripture, and you say, is that it? Lord, is that you? Oh, next verse you read, oh, is that you? Like, I'm like, oh, no. Like, you know, when the Lord speaks to you, you can tell it's him. You know, was that the Lord? Was that the Lord? Well, maybe that's the Lord. No, listen, I'll let you know when it's right. And so I'm like, okay, you're right. Lord, just, I want to spend some time in your word, and I just don't want to be thinking about, you know, is this for me? You know, is this verse for me? Is that verse? Is the next verse for me? And just get it out of my head. I want to relax. I want to read your word and be ministered to. And I was starting the book of Acts, and I said, okay, good. I know I've read through the book of Acts a zillion times. I've taught through the first part of Acts, so I'm like, okay, that's good. I'll be able to just kind of read through, and. In chapter 1, verse 4, it says, and being assembled together, they commanded them they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which he says, you have heard of me. And that verse hit me right in the face. And it's like, wait. Remember, I told you to wait. And it's because I've got a promise for you. I've got something for you, something else. And so, like, oh, that's awesome. So, I mean, I ended up starting the job in May down at Sappy, and we put our house on the market, and which was kind of tough because we were like, all right, well, this is the house that we started the Bible study there. And so it's like selling off a part of the church heritage or something, you know? I mean, and, you know, I know it's not, and it's, you know, it's just a house and whatever, but... We put the house on the market, and things are kind of taking longer than we had hoped. We were thinking like, okay, Lord, you told us to do this, so we're gonna get down, we're gonna do this, and bang, 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 and things are gonna line up, and whatever. And so the house is on the market, and we're like, okay, and waiting, and like, I'll start the, you know, and no matter how long a period of time, as you start to doubt, it's like, oh man, it's been a week. Did we make the right choice? Did we make the... Oh, man, are we sure? Yeah, no, the Lord told us. Okay, all right, good. All right, whew. Next week. Did we make a big mistake? I mean, is there some other way that we can... Can we... how can we get... like, no. The waiting is just like waiting to get married. It's worth the wait. It's worth the wait. Wait for the right person to come along. Don't try to go and do the thing. Wait, relax, wait. And I think of that with my kids too. Wait, so easy, wait, stop. And so we're waiting, but we knew, okay, the Lord's timing is perfect. He's gonna work it out. He's gonna do this thing. It turned out that our house was under contract, ended up being under contract for 77 days after we put it on the market, and then so we have a buyer for our house, and so then we said, we're like, oh, we need a house to live in, so we started looking around, and we picked out a house down in Pittsfield, and it's under contract now. They accepted our offer, and so that was 7 days later, I don't know. You don't want to get all, you know, weird and say, like, you know, seven. You know, seven is the number of completion. You know, 77 days. 7 days. I think that's just fingerprints of the Holy Spirit. I'm not going to make any doctrine on it. I'm not going to say to everybody like, hey, listen, if it's perfect, it's going to be some multiple of seven, or it's going to be, maybe Bob and Tab's house is going to be on the market for 777 days because that's the perfect. No, I'm not. No, I'm just sorry, Bob. No, no. No, he has a good sense of humor about that. We were talking about that earlier. Anyway, but the Lord, the Lord had the right property for us, and the Lord spoke to Stephanie in 1 Samuel chapter 9, and he had a verse there for her saying, "Hey, I have a house reserved for you. I have this thing reserved." Don't want to butcher it. And Samuel said to the cook, bring the portion which I give thee, which I have set unto thee, set by thee. And the cook took up the shoulder that was on thee and set it before Saul. And Samuel said, behold, this is left. It is set before thee, and eat, for the time has come and has been kept for thee since I said I have invited the people. So Saul did eat Samuel that day. And the Lord spoke to her and said, hey, I've got a place for you. I've got an appointed place and appointed time. And he did. And so Stephanie had the faith. We put in an offer, a low offer on a house that the seller had refused an offer higher than that. And I'm like, he's not going to accept that. He's not going to take that offer. And Stephanie's like, no, this is what we're going to, we need to do this. And I'm like, okay. So I'm like, all right, I'll, but she had the faith to say, hey, the Lord has got something for us. And so it's cool. And so the Lord has that house. And so when I look back over all that, I think, oh, why did I doubt? Why did I, I look back over my life. I look at, see the things that the Lord's doing there. I see the things that the Lord's doing in all you guys, and testimony of how awesome He is. And it's not that everything's going to work out perfect, and everything's going to work out. It's going to work out perfect according to His perfect timing and His will, not according to necessarily mine. But why should I doubt? And His ways are perfect and past finding out. And I hope too for you guys, the Lord's speaking to you, in different ways through different people, through His word, and that when you're making those decisions, when you're making choices, that you're asking for Him to tell you, what to do and where to go and how to do it and how to be best pleasing to Him. And every day He wants to speak to us, and He wants to talk to us, and it's just a matter of us having the discipline to listen and to be still and listen for His voice and do what He says. But so looking back over things, I say, man, God is awesome. He's doing an awesome work. And it's a bittersweet thing with what He's doing with us and with our family, but we know that He has a plan and that God's going to use it for good. So let's pray. Lord, you are an awesome God. You're worthy to be praised. We thank you for your marvelous works and for your word. Thankful that it transcends time and space, and that you speak to us through so many different ways. And Lord, we want to hear your voice and be disciplined about hearing your word and doing it. Lord, give us the strength and the faith. We know we don't have any faith in and of ourselves, but you're the one who supplies it. So we ask for your help. Lord, please draw us near to you. Thank you for my brothers and sisters, and thank you for the work of your Spirit that you're doing here in this place. Pray that you would continue. Lord, please bless our night. Help us to draw close to you. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.